mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 354. I'm Adam and... And here's Debbie Melrose.
Obey, obey.
Andy Nunny.
We can never leave here! Never! Never! Never!
Mary Lang.
There is considerable difference between courage and reckless stupidity.
And Kirby Bartlett looking very pleased with himself. Sloan!
You know, for a man who abhors violence, I must say I took great satisfaction in doing that. I'm really surprised. That is the main quote that you get if you try to look up quotes for this thing, and none of you took it.
I'm not going to look up quotes when there's stuff in the program.
All I got here. What's wrong with what we picked?
Yes. Yeah. All I got was.
No, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh,
six, seven,
be quiet.
Seven quotes that I put together.
The Sporidans just sounded like perverts. That's all I got from it. It was a. Oh, Joe.
Start out of peep standards.
Hey.
Joe, look at me mixing the potion.
Right, okay, well, yes, I'm going to have them put on the Facebook feed. I do apologise to anybody who had listened to the show and not put expected us to be on Facebook, because I forgot to do it. What did I forget to do last week, Mary?
I'm sorry, what?
What did I forget to do last week? It begins with S.
Put it on Facebook?
Did you forget?
I forgot to do the sponsors last week.
Oh, the sponsors, that's
goes
right.
To show that none of you, once again, have listened to the show. So that's two points deducted for all of you.
Master.
Yes?
Master.
Yes?
I did listen to the show.
Well, you didn't answer the question.
I was in the car and stopped listening before the last 2 minutes. However, I do have a note right on my screen.
You do?
Master?
Yes.
Master said last week that this week's story was set on Skaro. It isn't.
It's Sporidan. Yeah, shut up, Smarty. But right, that is definitely two
in
points
the ninth,
deducted.
In
right
the ninth system.
Two points deducted for Mary for not listening to the show. 2 points deducted for Andy for not listening to the show. 2 points deducted for Kirby to flop mission. And 2 points deducted for Debbie.
Shall I go get
an extra point for Kirby for keeping on saying he listened to the show when he obviously didn't take any notice of it. Right then, so we're all started. Well, everybody's on minus points already. Right then, as I was saying,
Andrew, you lost.
Sorry.
Nice.
What?
Need you doing? Sorry, I've got problem teeth, so need you doing, I'm afraid.
You got what?
I do have problems with my teeth. I've got about half a dozen crowns in here. It's about $5,000 worth of work in here because I grind my teeth. I've got gaps in my teeth. And occasionally get bits of food traps, which are uncomfortable.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. And I was sorry. I was too busy ranting to notice.
No, okay. That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Planet of the Daleks. Planet of the Daleks this week. If people on the live Facebook feed are seeing me turn my head to the left or right as you're looking, it's because I'm looking at the preview of... The story on my left. Yeah, we gave a recap of the Doctor being carried into the TARDIS because it's essentially a continuation of the previous story. And then I remember seeing doing this program before and commenting on the MFI unit that was used to...
The wonderful setup he's got in there.
Yeah, a pull-out bed, very convenient.
Yeah. Yes.
And for his diary, yes.
Yeah, I would have called it an IKEA setup.
We've never seen that when Joe used the log. We've never seen that used before, have we? Not in that format.
No.
No, but I suppose this situation hasn't happened before or since. I do like the outfit she's got on during this. It's very kung fu-esque. remember old David Carradine, and which I don't think Kung Fu was on in Britain while this episode was done, but I think there was a bit of a rave for Kung Fu.
I loved Kung Fu.
Whatever you say, Grasshopper.
Everybody was Kung Fu fighting. Ha.
Carl Douglas.
Yeah. No extra points for that, but that was what I was thinking. Now, yeah, so that was...
What was the follow-up called?
Pardon?
Everybody was running away.
Everybody no, follow-up single.
It was called Everybody was getting fed up with Kung Fu.
It's called Dance to Kung Fu.
Oh, was it?
Oh, boring.
Anyway, like you say, Yeah, she was asked to fill out the log and sort of say about how the doctor was. Doctor sort of started.
Adam Kirby's trying to distract us. You told me off for doing that. Look at what he's doing. I'm right. Not doing it, but he is.
Yes, thank you, Andy. That's a point deducted for Kirby. Although Kirby was probably unaware of this, but he is aware of it now because you said a point deducted. Right. Yeah, where did we get up to? For distracting
for
everybody.
Naughty, apparently.
For distracting people while trying to do this show. I did quite like the little recorder that Joe had. It was very very small.
It reminded me of an old Sony Walkman type thing.
Yeah, it looks like a little cassette.
It looks like it's just a cassette tape.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a Sony Walkman.
Yeah, it actually didn't even look like a recorder.
But this is before the Walkmans were invented.
Like tape in a box.
Yeah, but this was before.
It's a tape in a box with stuff on it.
Yeah. But it was before the Walkmans were invented, and when the Walkmans were invented, they were considerably larger than that. Just like to say, you know.
I love my Walkman.
So anyway, she does. I notice also there's a coat that's just sort of strewn over the console rather conveniently, because she's going to need that to go outside in a minute to stop herself getting covered in hopefully stop herself from getting covered in plant stuff. The doctor meanwhile apparently is frozen. He just looks like he's been snorting cocaine and it's gone all over his face, unfortunately.
And then show, Adam.
I mean, that's not ice, mummy. That's not ice.
No, ice is another drug entirely, isn't it?
This is Time Lord ice. Maybe it does look like
that'd
that, Debbie.
That'd be snow, not ice, then, wouldn't
it? But at least it labels John Pertwee to do his weird open eyes thing that he tended to like to do. So the TARDIS lands, and Jo decides she's going to have a look, go out and have a look around. But she does check the monitor.
David Attenborough, doesn't she?
Yes.
She goes out recorder to comment on what she sees.
It's interesting to note that she decided to put on this coat, whereas normally they just walk out in the clothes they've got. And also the fact she checked the monitor and somebody squirted stuff all over the monitor screen. Sorry.
You know what it looked like?
I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm worried. What did it look like? Go on.
It looked like that insulation stuff that you use to plug holes in, like around pipes.
Oh, yeah, no, that does. Yeah, that's not the stuff they're squirting at. The stuff that's coming out of the plants. No. When it's set, it looks like that. Yeah, when they come back later to rescue the doctor. That's what you're talking about, aren't you?
Yes.
That's probably because it is.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway,
quick,
so Joe. Sorry, Debbie.
I said, quick, nip down B&Q. We need more props.
Yes. So anyway, Joe meanwhile sort of ventures forth and carries on doing her entry into the log. I didn't notice that the weird sort
Captain's
of plants.
Captain's log, start date 73.
the weird plants that are squirting things have got like little cameras in them that sort of rotate and
I thought they
look
they
really
were
bad.
Cameras at first. I thought that they were something to do with the, because I knew obviously it was about Daleks. I wondered if they were actually fake plants because it did feel like that.
They
that
did
first.
Look like fake plants because
it all looks
were.
Fake. The whole forest.
Well, yeah, even more fake.
Yeah. So if they weren't real, perhaps they were plants put there because they're not real. They
maybe so. Anyway, yeah. So
hey, in only a couple of years, they're going to construct a jungle on set that is going to be highly praised for how realistic it is.
Kirby, you're in a rocking chair.
It's like an old granddad, isn't he? Look at him.
No, I've never noticed it before, that's all.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Old granddad Walton on the old veranda.
Of course it's a rocking chair. What else would it be?
I've got a rocking chair. Just creaks, though.
Well, Adam has a rocking chair.
Yeah, it's all he does, just does this. Never mind. Anyway, back to the story.
I just dropped for the sake of it.
Well, I could get on Zach's rocking horse. So
I will be at that. I will be at the rocking stage anyway soon. The way things are going, Debbie.
No, I'm not sure where the cat is for my.
Well, I hope the gosh is not behind you.
What the hell is the cat going? Get back to the story. This is a six-part story. Mary, tell him off.
It was a great episode we did last week without all these interruptions.
Point for Mary. Well, darling, where's my dinger?
I was falling asleep while listening to it.
Were you?
Because there was no jokes.
Another point, no jokes. Another point deducted for Kirby. No.
You said you were driving while listening to it.
Yes, I was.
And falling asleep.
Right.
Anyway, so meanwhile.
And actually, I have something else to say about that. I had the geek daughter with me because we were driving over to see Wonder Woman yesterday.
Ooh, Wonder Woman. And that's on telly. You can get that on Sky, an early release, if you want to download it to your Sky boxes.
Yeah, this was in a theater still. It was. Yeah. It cost $2 to see it on a big screen, so why not?
So it's in a cinema, not a theater.
It's a good film.
Anyway, she was listening as well. She hardly ever listens to our podcast, and her comment was that it was more interesting because there were no jokes.
Hey, I'd give her a point if she was on the show.
Adam got to talk about all six episodes without.
Yeah, we were done in the story by now, weren't we, Mary?
Interrupting you.
Anyway, right. So where are we up to? Right. So Joe is venturing forth into the jungle and stumbles across a sort of spaceship, goes inside and finds. Is it a dead person?
Dead person.
Yeah.
Cobweb.
Yes.
He's got cobwebs on it and everything.
Yes.
Master. You know what that spaceship with its springs, which made it move back and forth, reminded me of?
Probably one of those air flight testing machines.
Have you ever seen Mel Brooks' silent movie?
No, but Mel Brooks was on the Jonathan Ross show last night, and it was incredibly funny.
Well, there's a scene where they go into this trailer with broken springs.
Yes.
And they're going back and forth like this, and that's all I could think of when watching this trailer. Why did they make the set, build the set actually in a trailer? Obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Can we get back to the
also
story?
Kirby?
It's a caravan, isn't it?
Who spoke the only words in Silent Movie? There's only two words.
Marcel Marceau, of course.
Marcel Marceau, indeed. Yes.
Anyway,
ask a young person nowadays who Marcel Marceau is, and they won't know.
Yeah. No, they'll just say nothing.
Back to Doctor Who. Back to Doctor Who.
Yes.
I can't remember what we were talking about before, because you did make me think of something else.
It was the talks in the spaceship.
No, you're talking about something else. It made me think of something else. When you're rambling on about some other stuff. God. Never mind, I'll probably remember when I listen to the show back. Yeah, so she finds this dead body inside the shuttlecraft. I mean, the spaceship. What's that noise? Is that you, Mary, putting a cup of tea
down?
Yeah,
that was me putting a cup down.
It wasn't me for once.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, so the doctor tries to get out the TARDIS and he can't. And then apparently the oxygen supply is failing.
And the backup.
That was a little strange.
I thought the backup one, it would be a bit more dramatically running out, you know, like with the light or something, but it just was the hissing instead.
Well, I'm thinking the size of the TARDIS within, I think it's quite some time for the oxygen to run out.
It's transcendentally enormous.
Yes.
Yeah.
But never mind.
Get it out from under the desk.
Beg your pardon.
Yeah. Joe bumps into a couple of Thals, one of which being... Bernard
Gulliver.
The Time Lord that changes the second into the third.
He's also Gulliver.
I know he is. Right, point deductive.
And he's
for
Chancellor
being,
God.
Chancellor God. Point deductive for Kirby for being overly pedantic.
What else he can
you? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Right.
No, Oliver couldn't have any more. No.
Right, so yeah, she quickly makes friends with these two characters, but there's some weird things going on in the spaceship. Things are being picked up and put down by some invisible creature.
Very heavy breathing, a bit of a pervert.
But obviously he's looking for his asthma thing in his asthma puffer.
he's looking for Darth Vader to help with the sound.
Yeah, point reinstated for Kirby for a minor bit of comedy. Where do we get up to? The footsteps were quite funny as well. Because
footsteps.
The what?
You're the footprints.
Footprints, yeah, that's what I meant. Footsteps. Quite interesting. And also there was a little monitor that said cabin atmosphere unable to sustain life, done in sort of futuristic font, which I thought was quite amusing as well.
I think any TV series around that time had that same sort of font, didn't they?
Yeah,
UFO had the same thing, and Tomorrow People.
Futuristic.
Can you tell me where that is, and I can try and identify it.
What? Yes, I don't want to know what bloody font it is. Shut up. Anyway, the Doctor mean. Oh yeah, Jo has a word with her new friend, saying that, that there's a blue box in the jungle. My friend's in it, and they've only just met her. They know how dangerous it is, but they're very kind, and they go along to try and rescue the Doctor from the box. And of course, the Doctor.
I like the futuristic Packamax they gave out. Yeah.
And yes. Yeah.
Out of nowhere, they come up with with the plastic coverings. The it's like, wait, where did all this come from?
Yeah.
I was a bit distracted when the Doctor's dying on the floor because of asphyxiation, and you can see the bits and pieces of the set where they used to pick it up and move it, the hinge for the TARDIS doors.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at that, but thanks for that anyway, Kirby. Also, when they did get him out there and they sat him down and he did his typical John Pertwee recovering acting, which is, thank you very much. It seemed together every single time he just about survived something. So he quickly makes sure he realizes Ethar's, and then Kirby sort of got so excited that I think he probably his glasses steamed up, because this is where the Doctor says, well, I've met you before many years ago. Oh yes, there was a man, wasn't there, came to Skaro, yes, with three travellers. Oh yes, that was Ian, Barbara and Susan. And of course, once the Doctor said that, Kirby's excitement levels just shot through the roof. I heard this great big explosion. I thought Trump had bombed North Korea, but no, it's just Kirby getting excited over a reference to the first Doctor.
Oh yes. That font, okay,
what?
It's not even paying attention,
God's sake. So anyway, they tell the Doctor that
my main disappointment with this set of Thals is that they don't have the elaborate eye makeup.
Okay, never mind. Right. So the Doctor tells them. They tell the Doctor about the stuff, because they squirt him with some spray to stop him from getting infected by whatever the plants are squirting out. Mm. Of course, we now then know that Joe is in danger of something, because she's got some horrible stuff all over her hand. She meanwhile is collapsed inside the spaceship and looks like she's thrown up, because there's a pool of spew.
It does look like she's thrown up, doesn't it?
It's also, not only does it look like she's thrown up, it looks like she's thrown up over her wrist and the side. She's have a bit of a bad night, poor girl.
The Ark in Space with the guy's hand web, that's what I put me mind of.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
No.
Yes.
It reminded Kirby, there you go.
The bubble wrap.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sorry, I didn't remind, but now you've mentioned it.
Which we get to see very, very soon now.
Now you've mentioned it does remind us of that one, yeah.
Bubble wrap makes reappearance.
They've got some spray in their hands and they go through the jungle and they're able to see somehow this invisible thing. And the Doctor says, what is it? So apparently they squirt something on the invisible thing to show the Doctor what it is. And of course, it's a surprise, surprise Dalek, because obviously this is called Planet of the Daleks. So you would guess that it's probably likely to be. So not much of a big surprise for the viewer.
Stealth Daleks.
Stealth Daleks.
Well, and then the Doctor acts so surprised. But he wanted
He knows. It's, we told the Time Lords to take him there. Yeah.
so what? But he acts like, oh my gosh, this is a surprise.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
And it's the way John Pertwee says Daleks. So Daleks.
Yeah.
Funny. So we know that for certain now it's the Daleks. Of course, this Dalek is not too well, not doing much, although they think they're going to take the sort of top of it, but the Doctor says, if you do that, it's got some sort of alarm thing inside that will send a message to the other Daleks. So it didn't seem to bother them later in the story.
That reminds me, in episode 5, is it, when they stick Rebecca in?
I just bloody said that, right? Point deductive for not listening.
Yeah. Also, I've got a point about this. Without the end of the first episode, is this the smallest cast since the second story, Edge of Destruction? If you think about it, there's a Doctor, Joe, and three Thals.
No, you got
Thals.
The Spiridons, though.
Oh, flipping egg, three Thals is what I'm trying to say.
Are you sure you haven't had a new one?
Two, three, four. There's six Thals.
Yeah, there's more than three
Thals. No. In this first episode, there's not six Thals, though, is there? They don't all appear in this first episode. That's what I mean. This episode, I reckon there's only five characters appear in it.
I don't know.
Doctor, Joe,
yeah,
three
Thals. Edge of Destruction has got three, isn't it?
Well, that's right. Is it the smallest four. Since that? That was my point.
I couldn't tell you, but I'm sure somebody will know.
Anyway, maybe Kirby.
Joe wakes up.
Kirby will know.
Yeah. Joe wakes up and shut up and continues to do the log, even though she's not very well. But I think Wester was watching her anyway. Sorry, we don't know he's called Wester yet. But he's watching her. And when she eventually collapses, of course.
Well, you mean Roy Skelton in his dual role?
You had a very busy episode,
Wester
didn't you?
Wester and a Dalek.
See, what he should have done is also done Zippy and Zippy and George in this as well, which would really enhanced his paycheck. Of course, there's a point in which one of the Thals gets attacked by a rubber tentacle, and the doctor cuts it with a knife.
Doesn't that scene go on forever? I mean, it's like that thing is constantly approaching him from the same point, but it never reaches him. It's like, grab him already!
Peter's actually the same thing in The Lord of the Rings when they were trying to get into the Mines of Moria, and Frodo was being dragged in by a thing. It's the same scene, wasn't it?
I haven't got a problem with that. The actor who plays Mr. Moody, I mean, not his name's Mr. Moody, he's just a Moody character, I can't remember his name. He snarls at everyone, hey?
Ron.
Now, he was in future and past episodes of Doctor Who, playing various different characters, all of which snarling a little bit at the Doctor. The one who
You mean Prentice Hancock?
It could be Prentice Hancock.
He was Paul Moreau in Space 1999.
Yeah.
He's in Spearheads from Space.
Yeah.
And Rebos Operation or Rebos.
Rebos. Debbie.
Rebos.
I haven't seen Rebos Operation, so I don't know how Rebos is pronounced.
That's your excuse, is it?
Yes.
Anyway, Joe meanwhile isn't very well.
Very bad.
And then one of the Thals has a fight with a Spiridon without his clothes on, and gets clubbed over the head with a stick, and the Daleks turn up and sort of some things kick off. The Doctor then jumps in because they're going to blow up the spaceship that he thinks Joe is in, but obviously Joe's been rescued by Wester, and he can't stop the Daleks from shooting at the spaceship, which he really does think Joe is dead. But he then gets taken prisoner by these Daleks and meets up with the cowardly one. What's the cowardly one called again? Codal. Yeah, that's the one. Or is he the engineer one? Because the Doctor gets on very well with Codal, doesn't he, throughout the story?
Yeah, Codal the Doctor.
I'll just say that he doesn't like to fight.
Ah, that's the one. That's why I call him cowardly. But he wasn't. Anyway, right, So Joe is fixed by Wester, even though Wester is perving over her for the whole time he's with her. Joe, I'm gonna pour this stuff all over your arm.
That magazine, Girls Illustrated, didn't say. Yeah.
Boobs or bush, darling.
yes. Oh, that made me laugh.
Right. So there's lots of arguments between Prentice Hancock. Is that what you said his name was? And Bernard Thingamajig. Because they're fighting Horsforth. That's right. They're fighting for sort of supremacy in the group of Thals. And Joe, as Joe is, very quickly makes friends with this invisible character. And then we bump into Dirty Den's bit on the side. If you watch, you have to watch EastEnders from the beginning to know who this was. But when Dirty Den was having an affair behind Angie's back, this actress was the woman he was having the affair with. And I can't remember. Early days, Mary. Many years ago, probably about 30 years ago, very long time ago. What was her name? Jan Francis or something? I can't remember now. Jan somebody or other. Kirby's now going to look up Jane who?
How?
I nearly got it right. Yeah, so she plays the very posh girlfriend of, and probably a little bit young for him, to be fair, because old Bernard Thorthall, that must be in his late 40s, I'd guess, from this. And she's clearly, by her zits, is in her early 20s. What do you think, Debbie?
Pass.
Yeah, she's only saying that because she agrees with me. And she doesn't want to be controversial.
Hang on, look at Mick Jagger.
Yeah. No, I'd rather not, thank you.
Bernard Horsfall would have been 43.
Bloody hell, he didn't wear very well, did he?
I'll have to check.
She wouldn't. Well, she's got lots of spots in these episodes. I'm thinking she's probably quite young, and she certainly
might have been an awkward time for her.
Yes.
She's 23.
There we go. I'm right. Right for me. Thank you very much. So, yes.
Master. Her character's name, Rebecca, is... she's been named... Termination. What?
He said, hello, Tom.
No, I didn't.
Terry Nation named her after his daughter, Rebecca.
Okay. That was difficult to work out, wasn't it, Mary?
Yeah, not too difficult.
Yeah. There were some clues there.
Only if you knew that his daughter was named Rebecca. By the way, I need to research this more, but doesn't Terry Nation use the name Terron a lot?
Possibly.
Not anymore, he's dead.
Anyway, we discover that some of the Spyridons are in league with the Daleks, but Wester isn't. He's sort of a bit of an outlaw. What's that liquid they discover?
It's the liquid ice, isn't
acid,
it?
That's the liquid ice, but I wouldn't be holding it as Rebecca is doing. It's going to hurt.
Yeah. And the doctor sticks his hand in it, too, at some point.
Well, no, it'd only like picking up ice, though, wouldn't it? It's ice that's still liquid.
Yeah, but so is liquid nitrogen. That's really, really cold, but I wouldn't pick that up.
You'd want to get it up.
No, you don't know how cold it is.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
It might be just below freezing. You know, we don't know if it's like -186. You know,
that's the point, though. You don't know how cold it is. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't know how cold it is. Anyway, then we bump into a few more files. I like the bombs, the little bombs I've got. The little sort of control knobs reminded me of that big bomb that was in Dalek Invasion of Earth. You were saying,
they
Kirby.
They look like bombs.
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 No,
Belm.
They actually look like Fisher-Price toys. I mean, Mary. Fisher-Price toys, won't you?
Yeah.
It does look like, you know, sort of wind-up clock radio or something like that.
Anyway, back to the story. Yeah. I did like the little tunnels, the little ice tunnels that the Thals crept through. I thought they looked quite effective, actually. Obviously, it was done shot on film. That might have helped them to make it look a little bit icy. The Daleks, meanwhile, have got, like I say, some of the Spyridons are in league with the Daleks, but they've got them as slaves. And the Doctor and... I've got his name now. Kodak, is it?
Kodal.
Managed to disable a Dalek and nearly get away. But interestingly, Joe is sort of hovering around another corridor, but they don't even know she's there. And there's loads of bits and bobs going on.
I wonder if I can get some purple fake fur and make a very easy costume the next convention I go to.
Yeah.
Maybe
no,
so. Incredible. Back to the story. The Thals are just about to arrive in the sort of inner sanctum of where the Daleks are, and the Doctor and the Kodal sort of rescue them by pulling them through a grill. And then one of the Thals gets killed by the Daleks. And And then so they find themselves trapped in this sort of room, which just conveniently has a great big tunnel thing leading up to the surface.
A vent,
massive vent.
And they do say the ventilation shaft quite a few times.
Yeah, and there's also inside that room is some very conveniently placed polythene. And some rope, which I think they had on them already. And the Doctor sort of thinks what we can do is use the heat from this room to float up the vent away from the Daleks. So that's what they plan to do. The Daleks, meanwhile, are trying to cut themselves in. Doctor looks through a window and sees a cave full of frozen Daleks, which look like the Dalek toys, because they are.
They are.
To get that in before you do.
That reminds me very much of Power Daleks, that did.
Yeah, well, I think this is a remake. Oh, no, it's not. It's a remake of the Dalek Master Plan.
No, it's a remake of Master Plan.
Yeah. And then...
It's more a remake of the Daleks.
Wait, what mystified me was the Doctor increasing that upward draft by increasing the refrigeration. So when the Daleks break into the room, why don't they just go over and cut the refrigeration, and then they would come right down that shaft. But instead, you know, they think they can pursue.
Because this is a TV science fiction series.
No. Sometimes that doesn't work on that. But it would have, well, there wouldn't have been so much fun if they got rid of, they've ended the, they wouldn't have had that big chase up the thing, would they? Up the.
No, they wouldn't have that.
Yeah. Also, this would be the first example of a Dalek levitating. Elevate.
Yeah, well, it did levitate. They had a little levitation pad, didn't they? That's how the Dalek.
No, Kirby, I know what you meant.
I know what he meant too, but I'm just like, it doesn't matter.
You were ignoring it, weren't you?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I'm used to being ignored by Master.
I've just gone and opened up the wrong episode, thanks to you lot. So. I think that was episode... What, which episode was that? Was that a three or four?
I don't know, because I pressed play all.
Thanks to you, I've lost where I was.
That was episode four.
Was it?
Oh. Yeah,
can't believe we got that far. Yes. So, yeah, episode four. Thank you, Mary. Point for Mary for helping me. That's... Mary now down to zero. Well done, Mary. right, where did I get up to this? That was episode four. Right, so episode five. Yes, episode five begins with them floating up the... oh, no, it doesn't. Are you sure that was episode four? No, it wasn't.
Episode four, they're floating up. They start floating
No, no, no,
up
no, 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 no. Episode three.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Episode three is when they make the parachute.
Episode four is when they escape.
So the next one is episode four. So thanks to Kirby, we've only just arrived at episode four. So halfway through, what time is it?
What do you mean? You're the one who clicked the wrong thing.
It's your fault that we've only got up to episode four. Like I say, anyway, they start floating up the shaft. Very gripping scenes, actually, as they very slowly float up. Unfortunately, the polythene thing starts to fray.
Very conveniently, just as they get to the top.
Yeah, I did like the fact that the Daleks were holding up a piece of paper with their little plungers, which they didn't get to use their plungers very often.
Yeah.
And they've got three bellums ready for priming. Nice to see that Joe fiddles with the timing mechanism a little bit for a while. And so just as they get to the top of the shaft, she falls over and bangs her head as well. I forgot to mention that. But just as they get to the top of the shaft, the polythene thing fails and they go, hey! Or the doctor goes, hey! And jumps to the side of the shaft where there is a convenient sort of ladder-shaped thing, which they probably could have climbed up anyway. Would have made life a lot easier.
Well, the others did, didn't they? They got out that way.
Mm. So they do eventually escape. But it was quite a good scene, nevertheless. They're rescued by the other Thals at the top, and then the Doctor and Joe are reunited. A lovely scene. And then, of course, the pervert Bernard Horsfall and his young filly are also reunited. Beg your pardon?
I like that. When they Jane Howe and the guy lobbed the stone to the Dalek.
Yeah, that was a good scene. I was going to mention that, but Kirby put me off.
It's always my fault.
It is, yes.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So the Doctor and Joe have a little bit of heart-to-heart.
Well, and then... Is that your leg, Andy, or is that your arm?
That's my leg. Sorry, no, I've got hip and knee problems, and I'm having problems sitting comfortably, so that's why I keep moving.
Okay, back to the story.
Oh, it's got
point deducted from Debbie for being distracted by something that really shouldn't have been distracted.
Yeah, well, it's night time.
Right, okay, so the Doctor has a heart-to-heart with Bernard Horsfall. Because he's encouraging this rather unusual age gap relationship between him and so I don't know what he's trying to say there. And then isn't there a bit where Wester turns up and the Doctor is just about to attack Wester?
Yes.
It's not very nice of the Doctor to attack a stranger like that, is it? But nevertheless, he does, but gets stopped by... What on earth is that noise?
Is that better, Kirby?
What?
Well, I've moved the chair, moved the stool with the iPad on to try and get the light on. I'm in the conservatory. Oh. Is that better?
Okay.
That's the first question. Does it matter?
Professor Plum in the conservatory with the lead pipe?
No, it's Andy in the conservatory with the iPad.
2 points deducted for Kirby. Because we're still trying to get through this episode, and he's still getting distracted. In fact, if he gets to 10 points, he's disqualified from the quiz. Right? Where are we
at? Unfair.
No, it's not. Right. The Thals have a bit of a scrap. Fisticuffs. It's more of a wrestle.
That was a throwback to the first Dalek story, wasn't it? With the Thals. Where
yes, it was a bit.
Probably the Thals have a scrap. So I think that was
It was over a girl, wasn't it?
You reminded me of it, that's all. Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll just sit quietly next to...
That might be a good idea, Kirby.
For the green death, I'll say nothing.
Hey, Mary, don't you think that would be a good idea?
Yes.
Well, he was quiet last week, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. It was probably last week's episode, the first one in ages that Kirby hasn't had any points deducted.
You had no sabotage last week either.
No, well, yeah. Exactly, right. No. So the Daleks have got this idea of creating a sort of bacteria or bacterium that's going to wipe
bacterial
out...
Bacterial culture.
Yeah, that's going to wipe out everything on the planet apart from them.
So that, these foreign slaves, they inoculate.
Yes, so that's basically the Daleks' master plan for that particular episode. episode 5... Stop chuckling.
Yeah, it does escalate, doesn't it, over the course of the story, what the Daleks are actually up to. Going for level.
And we find out that there's a point in which they think that one Spyridon is Wester when it's one of the baddie Spyridons, but the voices are all the same. I think Roy Skelton does the voices for all of the Spyridons, and obviously Roy thinks that all the Spyridons are rampant perverts, so he decides to put that voice for the whole lot. And that's right. So that's what I think. Hang on, just watching, just flicking through a few scenes here. And what is going on? Just episode 5 is difficult to decipher. Actually, it's a bit of backs and forwards. Oh yeah, they come to that swamp thing, doesn't it? Where they end up pushing the Daleks into it. I think it's a nice swamp. Now there was a story
went in very easily, didn't they?
Yeah, but there was a story that those Daleks were still in that swamp for many. Well, sorry, in that quarry for many years, and were only discovered quite recently.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Don't know if that's true or not, but there you go.
No.
What?
No, that's not where the Dalek in the swamp. That's not where that Dalek came from.
Is it not? Where did it come from then?
I'd have to look it up, but not there.
Okay, well, don't look it up now. Look it up later.
I don't dare look it up now because you'll deduct another point.
Well, you could do something to earn yourself some points, Kirby, by being a good boy. So, yeah, the Daleks end up in the swamp. That's basically what episode 5 is about. The plan of the Doctor and his friends to put some Daleks in the arsehole. And then use the Daleks to travel around in. But on this occasion, fortunately, the alarm mechanism inside the Daleks' lids that they spoke of in episode 2, or 1, whatever it was, didn't go off and didn't alert to all the other Daleks.
Well, really, that's because the Daleks have been killed, they've been so frozen that they're now inert.
The Dalek reporting that they hadn't, that squad hadn't come in, says, "Oh, there was a very faint distress call, but that cut out."
I didn't pick up on that one.
I picked up that there was a distress call. Yeah.
Well, I was watching this while editing a wedding video. I just started to point out, so I might have missed the odd thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a point in which we start to realise that one of the Thals, the sort of one that looks like he should be in the band called The Sweet. I don't know if you remember them from the 1970s.
That's right.
Yeah, he takes a bit of a shine to Joe.
Slight shine.
And I said to
his name is the reverse of what was originally written. His name was supposed to be Petal. Terry Nation named him Petal, but they decided that sounded a little too soft, so they reversed it to Latip.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah. Well done, Mary.
Ding.
Ding. Okay. Yeah, well, I got a point for Mary for that one. That was a very, very, very good fact, that. Wasn't it, Kirby?
Maybe.
Point back for Kirby for comedy reasons. Not the way you paused. What should I say? Maybe. Right, where did I get up to? Oh, yeah, one of the Spyridons gets killed by the Daleks, and his body appears. Interesting mask.
Yep.
Yes.
Is he killed by the Dalek
bacterium?
Bacteria.
Yeah.
That particular Spyridon is Wester.
Was it?
There are fireworks going on outside, Adam.
Oh, on a white day?
Oh, that was yesterday.
I know, but maybe they're doing the fireworks today instead. I don't know. Deb will come in and tell me in a minute, I'm sure. So the Doctor and his friends are disguised as Daleks and Spyridons, but they get rumbled by a Dalek at the end of episode 5, who gets a bit panicky, doesn't he? He really does lose it a little bit.
Yes.
Well, all Daleks overact, don't they? I mean, how many... Exterminate!
Yeah, but, one was going a bit mad.
Bye, Debbie.
My Mac decided to try and shut down. I'm just getting my charger.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
That might be a good idea. Might have, could be a better idea had it charging from the start.
Ooh, yeah.
I watched all the Doctor Who's with Isla today, so...
all of them? Blimmin' it, that must have taken all day.
Absolutely, every single one.
I watched some with Stormageddon yesterday. He now recognises a Dalek.
Me.
When one appears, he goes, Dalek! Dalek!
Good.
And actually, he was bopping away to the Doctor Who theme.
What a good lad.
I got told off for cutting out the music at one point. I was like, no, let it play.
That's almost criminal. One of the dogs wants to come in, bear with.
He did get a bit annoyed when I wouldn't put Thomas on for him.
Get in, come on. Oh, I know where they're coming in. There's fireworks going off outside.
The fireworks. I'm just going to close the curtains here because the cats are freaking.
Anyway. Me and Isabella watched... me and Isabella watched... what was that? The one with the school reunion. That's the one.
Take a point on.
School reunion. Last week or the week before last.
I've belched twice and I managed to mute the microphone.
That was blimmin' indigestion. I didn't have any control over it. Anyway, I've got so many windows open at the moment. Getting to the point where you actually mute the microphone.
You need to get a belch like that.
It wasn't a belch. It was a regurgitation. Anyway, there's a point where the Dalek says, wait, you are not Spyrodons. Emergency, emergency. He goes really sort of berserk, like I said. And the Doctor and his friends leg it or slide it, because some of them are inside Daleks. They have another look at the cave where all the sort of alleged sleepy Daleks are. Yeah. Then a spaceship arrives, which is rather cool.
Instead of Ian inside of the Dalek, it's Rebecca inside of the Dalek.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. Also, is this the
There's
first
no
episode?
Room.
Well, she's only small. She's quite petite, isn't she? Is this the first episode with a football team being mentioned?
Possibly. I haven't really paid attention to that. Sorry, I've got a problem here because my dog is trampling all over my torchwood bag. Get off it.
Get off. That's all right, going down the Arsenal. So the question is Highbury or the Emirates Stadium they were going to?
Anyway, a spaceship arrives with very interesting blow torches coming out of the bottom of it. I was thinking about the possibility of them setting fire to the set as it was landing. And then
it's
the
only a model.
Then the movie Dalek appears out of it.
Beat you to it, sorry Kirby.
The movie Dalek appears from within, which is quite exciting.
And he's magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was stunning.
I don't like the fact that his eye stalk is a flashlight.
Oh dear, that's not naughty of the BBC to do that.
I worked out because she thought he was just a normal Dalek who turned up, and I was like, no, he's a normal Dalek later.
That's quite nearby, those fireworks. I at Northwood House.
Blimey, O'Reilly, where are the fireworks?
Northwood House, they're very close.
Yeah.
At least it's hope
Isn't
it's not fireworks.
Isn't that where the convention's going to be?
Shut up, Matthew.
Yes.
Shut up! Well, I hope it's not...
Sorry.
Yes, Master.
Sorry.
I just hope it's not a sort of an attack, or some sort of attack somewhere. You never know, do you?
Looks like a nail.
Looks like a nail. Anyway, so the Dalek Supreme arrives, which is the, like I say, the movie Dalek, and then all the little Daleks start waking up, and then Matey starts flirting with Joe big time. And I said to Deb, well, she happened to be in the room while this episode was on, I said, in a minute she's just going to say, I'm really fond of you, but, because that seemed to be her way, yes. Sort of. She tried that with old Helen, and I'm really fond of you.
He had his hand on her knee and everything.
Yeah, he's a pervert.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Wester didn't try that one on. She wouldn't have even seen it, would she? So it starts accelerating quite a lot in episode 6 while the Doctor's plan comes to fruition, and they end up sort of setting off the bombs and releasing the ice and setting off the sort of bacterium or whatever, and basically the Daleks think, right, let's get the hell out of here, we're not going to win this one.
We also have the first reference to a 1980s pop single, the Spandau Ballet single, through the barricades.
Okay. They get away, and they were sort of at the end of the episode go, hey! As they win, basically. And then
I was sitting there about 8 minutes to go thinking, well, the bomb's not gone off. Hang on, I'm trying to think. because I've only seen this once before. And then the ice volcano very conveniently went through and basically knocked all the toy Daleks all over the place. And it was a bit sort of a weak ending, I thought.
Maybe so. I didn't mind it.
Okay.
The bit where they sort of finish off, there's that Codel, whatever his name is, has a real bromance with the Doctor. I thought he was going to lean over and kiss him at one point. He's done so much for me, Doctor. But he doesn't. He goes off and fixes the spaceship, and obviously Bernard Horsfall goes off with his little young floozy. I'm not too sure if that's appropriate. And then I think the other mate who really fancies his chances with Joe. Hang on, Doctor, I've just got to have a word with Joe.
I love the fact he asked.
It's like asking your girlfriend's parents. You're going to marry your daughter.
It's quite funny, though, if you think about it, that she sort of knocked him back and the Doctor sort of allowed him to go and speak to him. And that was it. That was she didn't do it in the next episode. Oh, spoilers. off they go in their blowtorch spaceship. And
I know, it also looked like the Doctor's trying to talk her into going with him. It's like, are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah. Didn't do that in the next episode either. And Joe says she wants to go home because she wants to meet her husband and settle down. Oh, no, I'm not spoiling.
Yeah.
That's about it. Right, then, Planet of the Daleks. I'll tell you what, when we watched, as a family, a Doctor Who story called Dalek, when Alicia was actually started to get into or interested in Doctor Who, Alicia actually asked to watch a classic story with Daleks in it. So she watched this one. So I think she quite enjoyed it. Now, I think it is probably about one episode too long, because there was one episode that was really, really padded and not necessary. They could have probably condensed that down. But it is quite good fun, this. I've always enjoyed watching this story, and I don't really think it's... as far as a Dalek story goes, it's much better than Day of the Daleks. There's a few sort of disjointed things as far as the plot goes, but I enjoy the characters, even though I take the Mickey out of them. The set's a bit naff, but it's Doctor Who. I think, bear in mind, this is a Terry Nation story, and he's not renowned of being the best writer ever. I don't think it was that bad. I know he did use some of his storylines a little bit mix-matchy from previous stories, but this does feel like what a Dalek story should feel like, and I treasure it. I really do. But it's not the best Doctor Who ever, but I just really, really like it. I think it's just me. I don't think anybody else has the same opinion. This one sits close to my heart. What do you think, Debbie?
Never seen it.
Okay,
before.
Right. What do you think? Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
Stop farting.
This is chair.
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. I love the Daleks. They're brilliant. But it was overlong, and they did milk a lot of scenes that could have just been really just things could have been glossed over. It was like they were padding quite a few middle episodes. But to saying that, I didn't feel the last episode was really rushed. Like, you know, it's a 6-part episode. The last episode's going to be all the action. Oh, God. And I was expecting that, and it didn't happen that way. It was more of a build-up to it rather than just the great big run at the end in the last episode. So I enjoyed it a lot more as a longer story. I do still feel it was too long, but I enjoyed the fact that it kept going rather than just waited till the end for everything to happen. And you've got to say goodbye. They got to say goodbye nicely, and then obviously they get chased by the Daleks at the end. Fantastic. Always good. I do like the way that they're moving the stories along to follow each other again. So I enjoyed it, but it's not the best Doctor Who, but it was really good to watch it, and again to watch it with Isla, who was so into it and who is really into Joe. So yeah, she's not going to like, she wanted to know which Doctor it was and was convinced it was the fourth Doctor for about half the story, until I had to show her the Mr. Men book to prove that it wasn't the fourth Doctor.
What is that noise?
I have no idea.
It's not me.
No idea.
All gone very quiet.
Well, on your point, Deb, of it seemed to drag out, did you notice how each episode followed immediately on the last? We didn't have much in the way of a recap of the end.
Two episodes have recaps.
Yeah. Okay, but I was surprised that each one just kind of jumped right back into the action.
I like
point there
that.
For Kirby for a fact that was really relevant to the story.
Yeah, sometimes the recap can just become, by the end of a six-parter, the recap becomes almost half the program. So yeah, it's nice that they did that. I did enjoy that. Yeah. No, I'm done. I enjoyed it. Not my favourite, but up there.
Yeah,
at least Kirby's chair is creaking.
It's me.
No, it's not.
Andy.
It's his.
Me. Yes. I think, actually, I mean, yeah, again, the theme is it's too long. I must admit, I'm not a great fan of six-parters. Because I do think that... we're boring Kirby's now texting somebody. Because,
no, I'm not.
You know, episodes one is the setup, four is the denouement, three and four are the running... two and three, rather, running down corridors. I think here we got... we certainly had one episode that was sort of running in and out of the Dalek base, running out of the spaceship, and it did drag a bit there. Again, Debbie, I agree with everyone, she said she's picking her nose, the fact that...
I was moving
The last episode, again, you knew what was going to happen, but I think that was very well paced. And again, it's an enjoyable story. I think you know what's going to happen. I think the way the Thals interacted, given the fact it's the first time we've seen Thals since, what, 1963, and... what we took 10 years on, I suppose some people, a lot of people would have remembered them.
They weren't.
I think they were well placed. I'm still wondering how the Daleks managed to move to the jungle. No one ever explained that, so I'm a bit, you know, perhaps puzzled.
It appeared that they managed to make the jungle look like it had a studio floor all through the jungle.
Yeah, they're nice and smooth. I think the bombs are they're like Kinder Price toys and things like that. But overall, it's an enjoyable story. It's not the best Dalek story, but no way is it the worst one. It's a fairly predictable story. You know what's going to happen. You know they're going to win through in the end. I enjoyed it, but a bit long. And Storm again enjoyed it as well.
Good. Kirby.
I enjoyed it. It was maybe one episode too long. It would have been fine as a five-parter. And I thought the purple fur was a little bit much. Although, you know, Babel Color had made a video years ago of all the episodes.
Babel Color.
Whatever. Of all the little clips of all the episodes, and I saw the clip of Planet of the Daleks with people with the purple fur. I'm going, what the heck? Now I know what's going on. it was enjoyable, and since I didn't have a chance to give you feedback from last week, I did not particularly like the previous story.
Mary liked it.
Yes, I know she did.
Oh, did you listen to the episode, Kirby?
And I know Dr. Phil liked it as well. And I hate to disappoint him, but...
Oh, he did listen to it. Point reinstated. Sorry, carry on.
He said he did.
Yeah, but he didn't...
I said I did.
I know he did, but I don't always believe him. Yeah, go on.
There was way too... Laurie Nix is right about needing to have a drinking game with all the time that the Doctor and Joe get thrown into jail cells and escape. It was just ridiculous. Although I enjoyed the Draconians. The whole Draconian plot was the best part of that story. This story was interesting. Not the best story, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's basically what Debbie
said. I'm done.
Oh, sorry, I was expecting to go on longer, otherwise I would have got my priority jingle folder ready a bit sooner. oh dear, I've lost it, hang on.
What a change there.
What, me losing it?
Yeah.
Yes. All I can do is this. Haven't played that for a while. Mary!
Well, as you all know, I loved Frontier in Space, and after the wonderful writing in it, and the wonderful direction in it. And Adam warned me this one would not come across quite as well, and I totally agree. The very first episode, just think of this. We have this luridly colorized, obviously studio jungle filled with sound effects that made me immediately think of, what is it? I can't think of the name of
Amazon.
It now. The Mission to Mars, Mission to the Unknown.
Yeah,
because I think it was the identical sound effects. And like I said, the jungle looked like it was in a studio. The colors were kind of...
It was.
it wasn't a real jungle.
Yeah, no, apparently not. And then you've got these little plasticky plants that are squirting Lord knows what.
Mary, sorry to interrupt you, but what on earth is going on outside your window? Because there's something moving in it. Is it just windy outside? Is there a hurricane approaching us?
No. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you.
There is something.
You're
there.
Mary.
There's something moving.
Else is there. Could be a bird or something flying by.
No, it's just going wobbling from side
like
to side.
There's like little hangy down things.
Oh, hangy down things are my chimes.
Oh, okay. Oh. Carry on then. Sorry. A bit worried. Okay. I thought there was a hurricane approaching.
No. Yeah, so when the wind blows, you do see the chimes moving around. But the window is shut because my next-door neighbor loves to choose 2 o'clock every Sunday to mow his lawn, and he's got a very loud mower, so my windows are shut.
Okay, sorry about that.
So in the very first episode, not only do we get this weird-looking, unbelievable jungle, but then the doors...
Andy, whatever you're moving is making an impact on your microphone.
Sorry, just me getting it comfortable. Sorry, mate.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Carry on.
All right. So anyway, we start with an unrealistic looking jungle with these little things that are squirting. I don't know what, but they have managed to seal off the TARDIS doors, which I find hard to believe because the doors open inwardly. So how can you seal them shut? And then we have, you know, the oxygen crisis, which we talked about before, that it's like the TARDIS is enormous inside. So when and why would it ever run out of oxygen? And then the doctor, who's in the middle of this crisis, decides this is the time to go change clothes before he deals with the crisis. I mean, it was just some one hard to accept thing after another going on. And I thought, oh, what am I in for?
Mary, it's a science fiction
fantasy TV show.
But I mean, after the exceptional writing and direction of the last set of episodes, it's hard to believe this is really all one story. And as this progresses, it's obvious that the writer is not as clever. In fact, he's pulling back on all of his old ideas. It's like he's never even seen a Doctor Who episode since he last wrote for the show, because all he's doing is recycling his old ideas. And I think the director had quite a huge job to make what he was writing look somewhat believable, because it's hard to believe a lot of this. But. The thing is, it's action-packed. There's things going on all the time, and I do not think it's one episode too long, because when you think about it, people are watching one episode a week. We're watching them almost one right after another, which makes it appear that way to us.
Yeah.
But one episode a week, I think, would actually make this look, you know, pretty good. So ultimately, I did mostly enjoy it. And I would even recommend other people seeing it, in spite of all the inconsistencies and things that just don't make sense in it.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. I'm thinking, have we got any feedback this week? I think something has arrived.
Please don't send it to me. My internet connection is appalling.
Why don't you join White Fibre like I have? But before you join White Fibre, though, Debbie, make sure that you tell them that I recommended you, so I get £100 of Amazon vouchers, just like the... So, okay, before you join.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, £20 each, then.
No. If anybody who joins Amazon... joins White Fibre. You can't join White Fibre. You're not on the Isle of Wight, for goodness sake. And you made me type Amazon in when I'm instead of.
I wasn't impressed.
Well, try again, but use a faster internet connection like I've got. Big one.
I've not been able to look at Facebook all day unless I've got 4G on.
Who's your provider?
TalkTalk.
Well, there you go then. TalkTalk.
Oh right, no, I thought you said somebody else in TalkTalk. Yeah, sorry, that was good. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I was trying to find my emails.
Yes, I think you understand, sorry.
But you lot put me right off as per usual.
Yeah, you're
watching. Adam, you told me I'm the greatest amateur now, so I've got to keep you up, haven't I?
No.
And watching you, your picture freezes a lot.
Well, Debbie's does, yes. Yeah. Oh, I have got some email. I've got some limited... feedback.
Yeah,
and probably people didn't provide feedback this week because Kirby forgot to ask them to do it.
I asked them to.
Hello, 20 Minute Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Me.
Planet of the Daleks by Terra Nation. A strange title, as it is just a planet the Daleks are on. The previous story segues into this one. As the Doctor has a fit of the vapors at the end of Frontier in Space and lies down to recover at the beginning of this one.
Yes.
He lies down on a pull-out bed in the console room that has never been seen before. Joe provides narration by talking into a recording device that has never been seen before. She wanders off into a jungle to seek assistance for the Doctor, which seems very optimistic.
Yes.
Drama is provided by Joe contracting a terrible local disease until a friendly Spyridon cures it by pouring a bowl Spyridon. Of HP sauce on it. As is traditional, the Daleks are revealed at the end of the first episode, even though they are in the title. The Doctor invents a new sport, Dalek mud wrestling. Athal asks Joe to go off with him at the end of this story,
yes,
foreshadowing her going off with a bloke at the end of an upcoming yes. story.
No spoilers there.
An unusually incompetent government official, in that this one is a Dalek supreme. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. As Ian Kirk, everyone. Hurrah. Thank you for Ian for actually providing some feedback. Paul Gabert says, didn't get the chance to put my feedback in, but really enjoyed both Frontier and Planet of the Daleks. And where did you put yours in, Kirby? Because I haven't seen anything else come through.
You posted it.
Oh,
yesterday.
It's this one where Gail Hodges says, I sure have missed seeing the Doctor. As far as I know, no one in Texas watches him. Sad. Laurie Nick
says, let me tell you who she is. Back when I was living in Tennessee in the boarding house, she was one of the people who also lived in the boarding house at the same time.
Yeah.
And I introduced her to Doctor Who along with one other of the residents. And she's since moved back to Texas, but apparently she doesn't get BBC America or something.
No, I'm okay.
Laurie, she's been a member of our group ever since those days.
Oh, brilliant. Laurie Nick says, did they have enough IKEA back then? She was obviously paying attention. Yes, that was it for feedback.
Ian Kirk posted a picture.
Yeah.
A large bottle of HP sauce, and he says, cures Spyridon plague and is great on
Well, all these people, we're going to have to buy a whole bunch of purple fake fur because I threatened people if they don't get their feedback in that we'll wrap them in purple fake fur.
So you threatened people to put feedback in and nobody put feedback in. So that worked really well, Kirby. I think you better go back to your previous method of trying to get feedback to come in or just leave me to do it. I don't know, one or the other. It's now time, hopefully.
Did Andy notice the double Andy picture I put up?
Double Andy?
Double Andy picture.
Yeah.
Pleasure, double your fun.
I did the full screen of the four Skype pictures, and then there's another Skype window that appears in the upper right hand corner, which was showing the same thing.
Yeah, I've seen it. But anyway, can we move on? Right then, it's now time for this week's edition of Hope It Works, but we'll try my best. You won't get this one. I can't be bothered to go through the categories this week, so it'll be what I decide to ask out of this collection of cards.
Wait, let me put my thinking scarf on.
Right then, Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions on this particular venture?
And you're not...
No, I'm the question master.
Right. Okay, then I will pick Andy.
Well done. Andy, what do you think of that?
Well, it's got to be Kirby.
Oh, he's straight in. He knows who's going to win this one. Kirby, who do you think?
Debbie.
And Debbie, who do you think?
Kirby.
Oh, so that's two votes for Kirby then. Right then. So Kirby, who do you think would be at the bottom?
Me.
Okay. And Andy, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Me.
I think that's unlikely. Kirby, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Mary.
Okay. And Debbie, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Me.
Oh,
that's
no.
The most absurd.
No.
That's absurd. But there you go. You've said it now, and that's in. The trouble is, my typing thing didn't work. It came on the list as Ebby, which won't work particularly well. Okay, so the scores at the moment are: in last place with -5 points, Kirby. In third place with -3 points, Debbie. In second place with -2 points, Andy. And in the lead with 1 point, it's Mary. So first question goes to Mary, and it's this one. It says, what extraterrestrial martial art was the third Doctor fond of using?
Oh, wow. Oh, easy. Like to use my Joker?
Yeah.
Okay. Venusian karate.
I'll give you a point for the Venusian bit. But you lose your joker on that
Andy
one.
Andy gets the rest.
Hang on, Andy. I'm just putting in some stuff here. That means you get... So if you get this right, you get all of Mary's joker points. Go on.
It's Venusian Aikido.
Oh, that's
yay.
Right.
So, yes, that's interesting. Andy.
Yep.
Next question for you is this one. Which doctor is the first to encounter the Cybermen?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I'll play. Yes, thank you, Kirby. I'll play my Joker, and it's the first Doctor.
Oop, dear me, ding a ding go.
No.
Oh, dear,
I know.
There we go. Nope.
What do you mean, you know? I'd give you the right answer. You can't have a right answer.
I know, even though he's giving the right answer.
It doesn't work that way.
I know.
I expected you to get it wrong.
Oh, thank you. I love you too, Bartley
Sloan. All right, Kirby.
Master.
What strange suggestion does the first Doctor make to Kameka, an Aztec lady?
What strange what?
I'll have a go at this.
And this is what it says. What strange suggestion does the first Doctor make to Kameka, an Aztec lady?
I'll have a go.
He asks...
What is that noise?
Magic is trying to crawl into a corner...
It
doesn't exist. Okay. That's basically what the noise is.
Magic doesn't exist.
But he's on the verge of pulling all my wires out.
I thought he was sharing a cup of chocolate or something.
No, that's the wrong answer. Andy, you know.
I think the fact he by accident proposes to her.
Oh dear, what's me dinger doing? Yes, it's the correct answer.
I didn't understand the answer.
He proposes to her.
Yeah, I mean,
he accidentally proposes.
That's exactly the answer. He accidentally proposes to her. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's just that's kind of vague for the question.
Don't look. This is what they've got written on there. Stop being awkward. Yes, just because you've got it wrong.
Nice mug.
Hey. Right, Debbie.
As well.
Debbie.
Yes.
Which Doctor meets Mr. Popplewick at J.J. Chambers Fantasy Factory?
Easy.
Where?
Do you want me to read it again as people were talking over?
Yes, please.
Right. Which Doctor meets Mr. Popplewick at J.J. Chambers Fantasy Factory?
I know.
Andy.
We know you know.
We know you know, yes. Andy, what do you think the answer is?
It's the sixth Doctor.
Here's the correct answer. Right,
it's
I've got a bonus.
From.
Beg your pardon?
It's from the last thing.
Trial of a Time Lord, episodes
13 and 14.
Okay, it's been a while since I've seen those.
Hang on, the dog wants to get out, thank goodness.
Go on, bugger off. Andrew.
God, the fireworks have stopped now, so the dogs are relaxed. Next question, I'm not going to do it's a bonus pot question. Sorry, yes. Bonus pot question is this. What does the Master steal from the 10th Doctor to power his paradox machine?
I think I know.
Go on, Debbie.
Is it all his lifetime?
It is. No, it's not that at all.
No idea.
So that the answer was his TARDIS. So he's got 3 points in the bonus pot now for this question.
Yeah, it just ages him for larks. Yeah, sorry, forgot about that.
What city does the 10th Doctor's TARDIS stop at?
Whose question is this?
It's a bonus pot question.
Oh, another one.
What city does the 10th Doctor's TARDIS stop at to refuel with temporal radiation from the rift.
I know.
Going
I
in Kirby.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Cardiff.
Yeah.
I'm there next month.
Yay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, should I? Wait, are those, are the bonus questions, Master, are the bonus questions eligible for the
Joker?
Joker.
Yes, they are, yes.
Well, darn.
Right.
Wait, you're holding your scarf, have you, Kirby?
Yes, so you can see his head through it. Right, can we move on? Right, next question goes to Mary. You're still there, Mary?
Yes.
All right. What game does the Seventh Doctor play with the ancient evil Fenric?
I know.
I know.
Chess.
Ooh. That's a great answer.
Oh, you seem surprised.
Well, was a bit, to be fair. Right. Andy.
Uh-huh.
Which Greek god does Katerina believe the first doctor to be when he lands in Troy?
Oh, God.
I think I know.
Yes, a god.
I
yes, you're right.
I will go with Zeus.
Great
well,
answer.
Very good.
All right. Okay. Next question goes to Kirby.
Asta.
Which Time Lord's disembodied head does the fourth doctor encounter on the planet Khan?
I know.
Joker, that would be.
Go on!
Get on with it!
I know!
It's drained from my head. Don't count the Joker. Don't count the Joker. Wait.
Too late. You said Joker.
Yeah, I said Joker.
Okay, I guess I lost my Joker.
Fresh is on.
Still I'm not searching. That's not fair.
Are you giving up?
Wait.
Come on. Come on, Kirby.
Who said I know?
Well, his time's up, Bernie. Yes, so who said they knew first?
I'm not sure if it was Debbie or me. It was one of
I think it was them. Andy.
Go on in, Andy.
Morbius.
Ah!
Kirby, I'm really ashamed.
That was one of the most entertaining parts of this quiz ever. That's got to be said. I really enjoyed
that. Do I get a point for not knowing entertainingly?
Oh, dear.
Not knowing entertainingly.
Brilliant stuff. Right.
How could I forget that?
I really don't know, but
I think your head was busy.
You did. Okay, right. So, Debbie.
Yes.
This is your question. Oh, no, it's not. That's Kirby's question. This is your question. What sound implanted by the Time Lords is the Master constantly tormented by?
Joker, the sound of drums or the heartbeat.
That's all the Joker's gone. And a bonus pot question is this. There's only 2 points available. What two words does Rose ask Donna to pass on to the 10th Doctor after go on then, Debbie.
Bad wolf.
Yeah.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, well done.
Right, okay, I'll do a score update, shall I?
No.
In last place with minus 2 points, it's Kirby. And I love the fact that people
thought I was going to do well.
I'm not going to say, I just love the way people actually picked Kirby to win, forgetting the fact he was on minus 5 to start off with. In second place with 2 points, sorry, third place with 2 points is Mary. In second place with 3 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 12 points, it's Andy.
It won't last.
I'm not too sure about that. Right. Next question goes to Mary.
I don't even have Brain of Morbius in my target box.
That's irrelevant. Right, Mary.
I could have looked over there and what? I can't believe I did that.
I'm just cheating.
Mary?
Yes?
What?
I should resign
shut up.
From the podcast.
Mary, what
for
got... Shut up! What got placed on Donna Noble's back during her visit to a strange fortune teller on Shan Shen?
Well, I mean, I'd say like a giant cockroach. I don't know if it had another kind of a name.
It has a name.
It does have a name, unfortunately.
All right. then I don't know it.
Okay, so it's a...
it's a time beetle.
And Kirby gets a... There we go, right. Andy.
Yep.
Hang on, just put that down there so I don't lose it. Who was the MP for Flydale North?
Oh, God, it's Penelope Wilton, and her name was...
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Creepers.
We all know it.
Come on.
We all know.
I said it first, though.
There we go.
Thinking about it.
This is as good as mine.
Well, he's feeling much better now.
Yes.
Is it somebody stone?
Is a...
Yeah.
Right, so that point goes into the bonus part. And Kirby said he knows.
Harriet Jones.
Oh.
Is the correct answer. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What singer is Jackie Tyler a huge fan of? Is it Cliff Richard, Donny Osmond, Ozzy Osbourne, or Ronan Keating?
Say those again.
Cliff Richard, Donny Osmond, Ozzy Osbourne, or Ronan Keating?
I'll have a go.
I only know one of those names, and I don't think that was it, so never mind.
Just go on then. Say one of them.
I know.
Ozzy Osbourne.
That'd be a good one.
Andy, you said you know.
I'll go with Ronan Keating.
Will you? What about the answer to the question?
Well, probably not going there, mate.
No, it was Donny. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Cliff Richard was the answer. Okay, yeah. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of the scientist that Joe Grant meets whilst fighting giant maggots? That's interesting. It's the next story
yes,
about
I
this.
Know.
Interesting. And then
I
falls
know.
In love with.
I know.
Cliff Jones.
Ooh.
Clifford Jones.
I wasn't expecting her to get that one. That's got to be...
Yeah. I was.
I'm impressed.
You've seen The Green Death then?
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
Bonus pot question.
We've all seen The Green Death. There.
I watched on.
Bonus pot question. Everybody, pay attention. What is the name of the space station that Nyssa chooses to stay on when she leaves the Doctor to help cure Lazar's disease or Lazar's disease?
I know.
Oh.
Go on then.
I think I know. Was it Terminus?
Hey.
Ooh, very good.
I don't know why you said hey, Kirby. Did you say you knew first?
No, was it his turn?
It was a bonus pot question. You just weren't listening.
Oh, I didn't know that. If I had known it was bonus pot, yeah. I knew it too.
Well, you should have listened. Shouldn't he listen, Daddy, everybody? Yes, of course he should have. He should have listened, yes. Right then, so the scores are in last place with 0 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 2 points, Mary. In second place with 5 points, Debbie. In the lead with 16 points is Andy.
Still one last.
See, I picked very smartly this time.
You didn't do.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Next question goes to Mary. Which of the Doctor's companions models herself on Princess Astra of Atreus?
Oh, that's so obvious. It's unbelievable. That's so easy.
But you didn't say I know. I'll say I know.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Andy knows. Andy will get the go. Sorry, Mary. What did you say? No idea.
Don't know.
Okay. And it was Andy.
Romana.
You're still Romana. Shut up, Kirby. Oh,
okay. The second... the first Romana.
Doesn't matter. Just Romana will do.
No, it's the second Romana.
The second
Romana. Well, actually, so the first Romana...
It says Romana on the card. It says Romana on the card. Thank you very much.
Romana.
Right, next one goes to... Oh, that was Mary's question, wasn't it? Andy's question now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, what is Rory Williams' job when he first meets the Doctor?
I know.
He's some sort of medic. He's a paramedic. He's a nurse. He's a male nurse, I'll go with.
Yeah.
He was
got
indeed.
There in the end.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Round the block, but got there in the end, yeah. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What links the second Doctor's adventure, Enemy of the World, with the 10th Doctor's story, Voyage of the Damned?
Really?
Yes. But what links them? Enemy of the World, Voyage of the Damned. What links them?
The Titanic? I don't know.
No, that would be a... Okay, so...
I want someone else to come up with it.
Anybody?
No.
No, the answer is Astrid. Those both got characters called Astrid. Oh, which is, of course, an anagram of TARDIS.
So tenuous, it's unbelievable.
That would never be, yeah. Wow.
That's the sort of question I would have written.
Said the TARDIS.
Yes.
Grief. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What was the home world of Jabe, the tree woman, of the ninth, so that the ninth Doctor meets in Platform One? What's the home world? You won't get this one.
Forest of Cheam.
You might get that. Might get that one. He's really come up with surprises today. Lord.
I love that bit when they come in from the Forest of Cheam.
3 points in the bonus spot. Hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 points in the bonus spot. This is it. What? What'd you say,
Kirby?
What's
the answer if you know it? What's the answer then, Kirby, if you know it?
Well, I didn't hear the question.
Never mind.
You knew it, so what's the answer?
Never mind. Can we move on?
Bonus
pot question is this one. Please listen. Right. Which of the third Doctor's companions leaves him after falling in love with Professor Clifford Jones?
I know.
Go on then, Andy.
Could it be possibly Joe Grant?
How on earth did that come up? Absolutely ridiculous. Right, the scores are in last place with no points, it's Kirby. In third place with 2 points, Mary. In second place with 7 points, Debbie. In the lead with 22 points, it's Andy. Yes?
I've noticed something.
Have
I'm
you?
Either in the lead or I'm last.
Well, you're last. I don't know how you noticed that. The dog wants to come in again. Bear with.
Yes. Frog, right.
He's just standing all the way now. Annoying me now. Right, last round of questionings. So, Mary.
Yes.
What has Lady Christina D'Souza stolen when she meets the Doctor aboard the bus that ends up in San Helios?
Oh, God.
Oh.
You won't get this one.
Oh, it's going to kill me to hear one of you
say
it.
No, it won't.
Okay,
my hands are not on the keyboard. So.
Okay, she gives up. Anybody else? Anybody?
It's some. It's a jewel of some kind. It's not a Conal diamond or something like that.
No, it isn't.
It's a crown. It's a crown.
I thought it was an egg.
What are you lot on about? The answer is the Cup of Alphastan.
Oh.
So then we were all completely wrong.
Yes, so you were all completely wrong.
That
yes.
is what I... Yeah.
Yeah. Andy.
Yep.
What London landmark did the Cybermen and Dalek armies battle outside during Doomsday?
Oh, it's Canary Wharf.
Ooh.
They used to really work just up the road from there. I should know that.
That question was last time when we did these as well.
Well, I do apologise, Debbie. It's not my fault. Right.
No, I didn't say it.
Kirby.
Didn't you skip Mary?
No.
No,
Mary got the one about the truth.
I have late question.
I get the feeling you're not paying attention, but I'll let you off.
Okay.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
In the story Blink, how many DVDs did the 10th Doctor hide Easter egg messages on? Was it 17?
13.
Listen to the possibles. Oh. 17, 19, 20, or 40?
17.
I was going to go 12 and blank out that. Didn't get the one in.
Is the correct answer.
I suppose I couldn't have said Joker because I...
No, you haven't got any jokers. Right? Yes, you've made a bit of a mess of that. Yeah. Debbie. In Human Nature, what was the name of the school that John Smith, a.k.a. the 10th Doctor, was teaching at? Do you want the options?
Yeah.
Farrington? Sorry, I can't read it. Farringdon, Farringham, Fareham, or Farlington?
I think I'll go with the first one.
Which was... what's the first one? Farringdon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, well. You can see when you lean forward.
Yeah, he leaves his leg with things.
You don't even need the sound, yeah.
No, it wasn't, what did you do? It wasn't Farringdon, no. Anybody
I don't recognise any of those.
Three left. Farringham, Fareham, or Farlington. Anybody like to come up with a guess?
I'll have a go with the second one, then.
The second one was Farringham.
Oh,
lucky guess.
It was, yeah, no, you're right,
yeah,
it was.
Right, and a bonus pot question for the last time on this particular episode of You Won't Get to This One is this. In the brain of Morbius, what do the Sisterhood of Khan guard that produces the elixir of...
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
The Flame of Life.
I think... No, it's not.
It isn't. No, it's not as written on the card, which is what the rules of this particular...
Can I go?
Go on in, Andy.
Is it the Eternal Flame of Life?
It isn't the Eternal Flame of Life either, so we're going to get one of these. And the answer was... Sacred Flame.
Sacred Flame.
So there's now... 5 points in the bonus pot.
It was a flame of some kind. Yeah.
That was my quote when we watched that. Oh, heaven's sake.
Last... oh, sorry, more points in the bonus pot. And this is one. It's 5 points now. In Planet of the Ood, what was the name of the entrepreneurial family who arrived on the Ood Sphere and enslaved the hive-minded Ood? All gone quiet over there.
No,
they gave us now.
Good. No, that puts another 2 points in the bonus pot. Gets it a bit more interesting. Okay, right. The answer was Halpin.
Yeah, we all knew that one.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Right, here we go. Another one. In Smith and Jones, where did the Jadoon transport the Royal Hope Hospital to when... Go on in, Debbie.
The moon.
Yeah.
The egg.
A platoon of Jadoon on the moon.
A platoon of the Jadoon.
Quite soon.
Yeah. Quite soon.
Yeah. Right, so,
quite soon, yeah.
So these are the scores.
High noon.
As yet.
A spoon.
Shut up. These are the scores as yet. In last place, joint last place, in fact, Mary and Kirby with 2 points each. In second place with 14 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 25 points is Andy. Right then, this is where it gets quite interesting. Right, so. Mary predicted Andy to be ahead.
Okay.
Andy predicted Kirby to be ahead. Kirby predicted Debbie to be ahead. And Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead.
Right. No, Morbius was ahead.
Huh?
Oh,
Mary predicted Mary to be in last place. Andy predicted Andy to be in last place.
Wrong.
Kirby predicted Mary to be in last place, and Debbie predicted Debbie to be in last place. They're all a bunch of fools, really are. So the final score is in last place with 4 points.
You, Kirby? I've got that.
Shut up. Kirby. In last place with 4 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 8 points, it's Mary. In second place with 14 points, it's Debbie. And the winner this week with 25 points, it's Andy.
Obviously, and the lack of alcohol helps.
See?
I'll wipe your lounge
and shut. I think Andy's celebrating. This has happened. But not in such
master,
a... Yes.
Master, if I may make an observation, I do better on the Trivial Pursuits when I can choose the...
Oh, here category. We go. There's excuses. There's always some sort of excuse, isn't there?
Some kind of quiz. I almost like those better than quizzing on the show we
Kirby,
watched.
Can I just point out, if you hadn't been a very, very naughty boy in the earlier part of this episode, you would have had 5 more points to play with, which would essentially would have been a further 10 points at some point. So you could have actually won if you'd not been such a naughty boy earlier on in the episode.
Well, no, how many points would you have got in total if you got the 10 more points?
I've closed the page down now, I couldn't tell you. Right then, Doctor Who News. Koch Media have released the third in their collection of interviews from real-time pictures with the stars of Doctor Who, this time focusing on the fourth Doctor, Tom Baker's era. It's the Doctor's The Tom Baker Era is produced by Keith Barnfather, and a new double DVD release, the highly regarded series exploring the world of DV's Doctor Who in what will build into a complete work on the Doctors. It concludes six documentaries.
I'm going to talk to Tom Baker in a couple of weeks.
You're going to talk to him?
Yeah, as part of Time Lord Expo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Skype connection with Tom Baker, yeah.
That wouldn't be good if you could record it and get him to say you're listening to 20 Megabyte Podcast and stuff. Yeah, right. That's not going to happen, though, is it?
Are you going to slog him as well, Mary?
Oh, good grief.
It's
old enough to be, old enough to be a granddad.
Skype. Yeah. be up on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, the... We'll have a nice time and try and get him to...
Let me see if that DVD is available from the American version of Amazon.
Yeah, can I move on while you're doing
that?
Hang
on. Go look at whowon.co.uk or Lavazzi, couldn't you say?
Well, no.
We haven't finished the bloody news. Shush. Right.
The problem is with this DVD is that it's available in the UK format, not the American format.
Right.
Then you need a multi-regional DVD player.
Yes. Shut up. Right. The Doctor's Effect and the Doctor's Effects now available on online purchase. Two unofficial books of about the visual effects work of the 20th century Doctor Who, previously only available to a mainly UK fan base and via various offline avenues, have now been made available to purchase worldwide online. The books were written by Steve Candon, who worked on the show as one of K-9's operators. Blah, 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 blah. That's quite interesting bit of fact for you American chaps, wasn't it? And chapettes. And then it goes on about the Lethbridge-Stewart series, five titles announced, if you're interested in comic books. Bessie Comes to Bewley. That's not not too far away from here, is it? Bessie, the vintage car first used by the Third Doctor, has gone on show at the National Motor Museum at Bewley in Hampshire.
So that's the one that was at the Doctor Who Experience, right?
Might be.
Adam, that's not too far from me. So when can you send me a link or something?
What, for Bewley?
I'm actually on the mainland because obviously Hampshire's next to Surrey. I didn't know about that. Can you send me a
obviously.
Link?
Obviously. Well, the link to Bewley.
I love
Bewley. I can actually post the link to the specific Bewley page that they've actually
talking
about
that
on the 20 megabyte page.
Bewley.
Shut up,
Kirby. Knowing the Americans, you probably pronounce it completely differently anyway.
Bewley. Bewley. here we go. I'm just posting it on the 20 megabyte page.
Oh, shit. Thanks, Adam.
It's the Warp. Time Warp Bessie brings Doctor Who to Bewley. Spelled B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U. So how would the Americans say that? Bewley. Bewley, I suppose you'd say.
Bowler.
Yeah.
Bewley. Bewley in Hampshire. Where are we? Right. What else we got? That's about it, really, because all the other news me and Mary talked about last week. So that's it for Doctor Who news. And that's one thing we didn't do last week, and I blame Debbie for not turning up on the show to remind me, is the sponsors. So we're going to make sure we do the sponsors this week, aren't we, everybody?
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Oh, by the way, Adam, did we have nothing from Adam T. Butcher?
No.
Oh, that's
maybe
that's
he didn't realise we're recording today.
He's pumped.
I think he wore himself out last week because he sent what I think is the longest one he's ever.
Yeah, you would
and
think
I
that.
Had to read it.
Yeah, you
sorry, Mary.
Yeah, and if Debbie listened to the show, she would know that, wouldn't she, Mary?
What?
If Debbie listened to the show, she'd know you'd had to read it out.
Oh,
Debbie's given it. Debbie's given me her. Oh, I'm going to tell you off in a minute. Look, this is quite nice. I might have to screen capture that one. Can you hold that face?
Loads and loads of podcasts to catch up on this last couple.
You should prioritise on this one, shouldn't you, everybody?
I will when I get round to hearing one. That's fine.
What do you mean when you get around to hearing one? It's on iTunes and Podbean. Do you want me to send you the link?
No,
I do tend to post the link on the 20 megabyte page every week, though.
I have been somewhat busy. I do apologise.
I've been blimmin' busy. I do blimmin' 90 hours a week. Right, that's it. Moving back to 21.co.uk.
Is that whoa.co.uk?
Yeah, DWM517 is out for people who want to get it quicker outside the UK. Buy it from whoa.co.uk. And it's got a picture of the Seventh Doctor on the cover with the words Time Warrior on it. Oh, that's a TARDIS doormat, Deb.
Ooh, I know, I've seen it.
That's rather cool, $16.99.
Oh, speaking of a Time Lord doormat, I really like Debbie's 20-megabyte...
Mouse mat,
thank you, yeah.
I'll get you one for Christmas.
Oh, please.
You might do, when she recovers from being cross with me. I wish she was sat next to me. It's much better getting those dirty looks off her when she's actually sat there right next to you. Cybermen coasters. They're quite cool, actually. Different versions of the Cybermen over the history of Doctor Who. On a coaster. Set of four, $19.99. They've got some good new stuff. I'm glad we skipped a week now. Blake 7, Spoils of War. A big Finnish adventure, no doubt. And then you got the Mr. Men books, the second Doctor Second and Doctor Eighth, $4.99 each. The set will cost a fortune. I can't expect to say to my family, can you get me the Mr. Men books for Christmas? That would be absurd, but I would like to have them. Coming soon, still on pre-order, the 12th Doctor's new sonic screwdriver. 12th Doctor will be gone in a few weeks' time, because it's only 3 months to Christmas, so essentially it's only 3 months to... A Lady Doctor. The 2018 annual is coming out, and that's $7.99.
I might get that for Isla. She's really got into Doctor Who at last.
Good for
her.
Yay! Blood Furnace, a big Finnish story.
They stop watching after a while, just warning you.
Yes, I know they do.
I'm prepared.
We have evidence of this on the history of this show, funny enough. Blood Furnace.
That's a long story again last time, weren't we?
Yeah. Blood Furnace.
None of my three watch anymore.
Yeah, okay. Blood Furnace. It's the Seventh Doctor Big Finish story. And we've also got Classic Doctor's New Monsters 2, which is a Big Finish thing, which is interesting because it's got loads of Doctors on the cover. Let's have a look at that one. Brand New Adventure, full cast audio, and it's got Tom Baker, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, and Paul McGann on the cover. Ooh.
Well, they're not all in the same story.
Oh.
It's one of those Doctors with a modern monster. Each story is different. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've got to pay my official photo with your boyfriend, Mary.
Okay. Did you say you paid for it, Deb?
I'm going to.
No, I bought mine. Yeah, I'd like to get one with Pearl Mackie actually, but it's expensive.
Yeah, he had to cancel his appearance at Time Lord Expo, so I'm brokenhearted.
Well, I hope he doesn't cancel his appearance on the island.
Apparently he's got a film or something he's doing, so he had to cancel on us.
So when was that supposed to be? The expo.
Doesn't do that to us.
So give him a kiss for me when you see him.
That's if he doesn't cancel because he's got to do a film.
This is for Mary, and he'll know. Yeah.
And he'll look at you strangely and go, well, okay.
Yeah. Office That Never Was, the Torchwood story, and Dying Room, which was also a Torchwood story on Big Finish. Silurian Candidate, a Seventh Doctor Big Finish story, and Skin of the Sleek, another Fourth Doctor this time. Big Finish story. Tenth Doctor in tuxedo figure. Why? And The Thief Who Stole Time, which is a Fourth Doctor Big Finish story. He's doing quite a lot, isn't he? Big Finish story. A couple of 12th Doctor figures also. And the Third Doctor Adventures 3. Who plays the Third Doctor then in these adventures?
Tim Treloar is his name.
Is he quite good?
Yeah, he's very good.
All right, so it's Christmas is coming. All the retail establishments are starting to sell Christmas items. I'm wondering whether Lavazzi is starting to switch over to Christmas.
It's Halloween first.
Yeah. So?
Aww.
Our Halloween section is tiny. So we've got Fourth Doctor scarf. Hey, that's unusual, isn't it? And the Fourth Doctor Series 18 scarf as well, which is lovely. I've got it hanging on the back of my door. I should really have it hanging on my coat hanger, which you can't actually see my white coat hanger back there because it's covered in coats. And I do need to retrieve my normal Fourth Doctor scarf, which is in my locker at work. And it's been there all summer.
I think you have it round your neck as Kirby does.
Well, I need to get it washed. I get it out of my locker at work and get it washed. Shut up. Right, TARDIS and Daleks.
They still sell those scarves you got me that time when we went up to the experience.
Yes, I got into trouble for that, you know.
Red TARDIS scarf that you got me.
I got into trouble for that.
That down. That's ready to go for when it's cold.
I got into trouble for that, Deb.
Sorry?
I got into trouble for getting that.
Did you? Never mind.
She said, why didn't you get me one of those? And I said, because you don't like Doctor Who.
She can borrow mine.
No, she can't. Fifth Doctor cricket jumpers still available. It used to be able to buy them in Doctor Who Experience. Sadly, no more. Seventh Doctor hanky. The TARDIS and Dalek Christmas hat. I'll have to probably get one of them because I didn't get one last year, basically. Of course, the tie, the knitted Fourth Doctor scarf tie, and the Pandorica scarf, and the Fourth Doctor mini scarf, and the Seventh Doctor beautiful question mark jumper. They should start selling the cosplay things, really, because there are some companies out there that do proper cosplay stuff. And
yeah, I'm cosplaying completely against type. I'm doing an Attack on Titan cosplay.
I'm doing a Nail on Titan cosplay. So that's essentially what'd you say? Right, next time we're doing the Green Death. Now
when?
Well, as you lot don't seem to like doing a six-part story within a seven-day period.
But we've all seen this one before.
So you're saying we can? I've got a Bridges run next week, but I will be able to do the Green Death next.
I saw it. The last time I saw it was on his first broadcast.
Really?
Oh, really? Yes.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So maybe we better do 2 weeks.
Oh. Why?
I don't know.
I'll be on call in 2 weeks, so that...
We'll do it next week. Should we do it next week, Mary?
Sketchy. Yeah, I could be here next week for sure.
Right, we'll do it next week then. I've got a bridal show during the day, but I've got Sunday off, so I should be able to do it. Excuse me.
Maybe if I get a chance to watch it.
October
the 1st. October the 1st.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yay, my first day of holiday. Yay.
I'm back to work this week. We've got Storm Against Birthday Party next Saturday. Yeah, I might struggle. I might well struggle.
We'll see how we get on then, Andy. If not, don't forget to send in some audio feedback. Sure. And that goes for everybody else who can be bothered to send in feedback this week.
He can join anyway and just get all the questions wrong.
Well, it depends if I have time to write them.
Yes.
I think I quite like doing the Trivial Pursuit thing, actually. I think it's quite good fun.
I like it.
What's questions?
I beg your pardon, Mary?
I enjoyed that, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean there's no point... That means there's no point in... looking at all the individual details in the Green Death, because I'm not allowed to point out anything anymore, and because I lose points, and if we're not doing the questions about it, then I lose points. So
no, you lose points when you delay the progression of the show too much. Pointing out things is a completely different thing. It's just when. There's a time and place for this sort of thing, isn't there, Mary?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Mary's on my side, she gets a point. Save that for next week.
That's her point for next week, right?
if I can remember to put it on, yeah. That's just one of those little points of... never mind. Anyway, all right, so next week we're going to be looking at Green Death and seeing the sort of farewell to a much-loved character. As I spoke to last... If you did listen to the show, I think apparently Kirby did, but the others can't be bothered. But me and Mary did discuss the fact that when we started the journey with Joe, Mary was not particularly taken with the character of Joe Grant, and as we expected, the character has grown on her. Hasn't it, Mary?
Well, it has. So I'm interested because I've always disliked the Green Death because of Joe. So it'll be interesting to see how I take to it this time, now that my opinion of Joe has changed.
The character has grown on you the way that the fungus grows on Joe's hand.
Oh, God,
now, where's my ancient sauce?
So until next time, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for watching on Facebook, if indeed you did. I don't think we did get any viewers. I think we've got one at the moment. Don't know who that is. But thank you anyway, and see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
squeaky chair. You see the script?
Yeah.
Hang on.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by the Who1.co.uk and Lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.
That's a fairly good first effort, but that's not the cooperation, it's a corporation.
I don't know.
Right, and it's not, what did you say? Sponsored by who? You said the something, rather, that wasn't in there somewhere. I don't know what it was. Have another go.
Of the Doctor Who.
What did you say?
Of the Doctor Who.
No. Have another go. I'll pick you up. I'll stop you when you get it wrong, yeah?
Okay.
Go on then.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by the Who One.
That's it. You said sponsored by the Who One.
By.
Yes, no.
It should be by the. It doesn't make sense. By.
The shop is called Who One, not called the Who One. Not about the band The Who, is it? About it's Who One. That's basically who our sponsors are. Who One.
Okay.
Try not to fidget. The creaking noise will come out. Okay.
A Doctor Who. Oh, what? Oh no. Okay. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by Who1.co.uk and Lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.
Brilliant.